morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio this morning for our drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Happy New Year's Eve to all of you listening. Thanks for hanging out with us here. The last day of 2020. I'm not sure there's too many people who are not excited to move into 2021. Certainly excited to leave 2020. It's been a difficult year. We're at the end of it, and of course, wishing you and yours a happy and safe new year, both in 2021 and any celebration tonight. Looking forward to our show today. As always, Devin Underwood from The Talent Store will be talking about strategic planning for your business, kind of a new year theme as we look ahead at 2021. Up first here for the first half of our hour, we'll be speaking with Ramon Valadez, chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, stepping away in the next few days. After 33 years of public service and 24 years as an elected, we want to talk about a reflection of Pima County, what's happened, what hasn't happened, what the future looks like, past and future, with outgoing Supervisor Ramon Valadez. That's our show today. And with that, Ramon Valadez, good morning to you, sir. Thanks for coming on the air this New Year's Eve. How are you?
Good morning, Zach. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing good. Appreciate your time here. I'd love to. I'm looking forward to kind of looking forward. Certainly, in our second segment, as you reflect on what's ahead for county, what's ahead for the supervisors that will be taking the dais here in the new year. Remind me, when does the official transition happen? When do the new supervisors take the elect tag off?
Technically in about 13 hours.
In 13 hours, okay. So you are still the chair, you are still on the board, they are still supervisor-elect. I feel a little bit better about my job this morning. In 13 hours, the transition happens. Here's where I wanted to start, supervisor, as you look back on your years, look back on Pima County. I'd love to get your thoughts on, as you've had time to process, what are the one or two things that you feel good about being a part of getting done in the county? There was actually a recent piece that you and I booked this hour a while ago, but there was a piece that came out recently about some of the things, and you mentioned what's happening around Keno. You mentioned some things around sports, the RTA. There's been a lot of growth in Pima County over your time at the county, Ramon Valadez, and there's certainly been things like that. There's also been a lot of nuts that have yet to be cracked. Roads, poverty, lots of things. And so I thought I would start by asking you, both for yourself and the county, what are one or two things that you feel good about, that you've been a part of, and then as you step away, what are one or two things that you go, man, wish there had been better improvement, or wish there was more momentum on this front? I thought I'd start there with you.
All right. It's a little hard to boil down that many years into about two things, but a couple of things that I'm very happy to have been involved with. And again, as I've said before, this is not something that I did by myself. It was because a group of people came together, worked together, had a common vision, and then did what it took to make it happen. One of those is the Regional Transportation Authority, which in 2004-2005, when we first began discussions, people didn't think we could do it. The city of Tucson had lost four or five consecutive transportation elections, and nobody actually thought we'd get from point A to point B, all pun intended, because the city of Tucson and Pima County had a unilateral veto, each of us, on anything the RTA did. And the first thing I did was surrender the veto for Pima County and asked my friend, then Mayor Bob Walkup, to do the same, which he did at the subsequent meeting. And that really kind of began that process, which obviously was a $2 billion plan that was eventually passed by the voters, and is the only thing that in my lifetime that I recall every legislative body in Pima County voting unanimously in favor of. One of the other things, obviously there's a couple things, but One of the things is something that Richard and Elias, our late chairman, and I were very fond of, and because we understood the need and the role it played in our community, was the Keno campus, where obviously Banner UMC South is located today. When I first assumed the seat in 2003, the hospital had actually fallen into almost disarray. It was basically providing emergency room services and psychiatric hospital services. Today, we've with the help of our partners again, it now has served hundreds of thousands of people through the hospital, through the clinic, through the behavioral health pavilion. So it's become a genuine asset for our community. A couple little things, one of the things that we did was the library here in Sahuarita is a big deal as well. And one of the other things was the Keno Veterans Memorial Sports Park South, which has got a dozen pro-grade soccer fields, 20 pickleball fields in phase one. And sometime next year, we'll find out what phase two has in store, but it will be a true asset for our community. And that started as a vision in about 2006 that I actually originally was going to look at putting it where Southgate is. And obviously, we eventually moved it to the location that I had found there on Benson Highway, close to Keno, and on the other side of the freeway from the existing stadium. Those are a few. I mean, there's really a lot of them, but those are a few that come to mind right off the top. And again, all team efforts. This is not something that one person did. In government and democracy, there are very few things that just one person does by themselves. They certainly start, but it takes a team effort.
We're speaking this morning with the chair for a few more hours of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Ramon Valadez, represented District 2 since 2003 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors with other elected roles before that. Now stepping away here, Matt Hines, who was on the show yesterday, is the new supervisor for District 2. And Supervisor, we're definitely going to look towards the future. As you step away, in the second segment, I want to talk about what you see for the county, what you see for this new set of supervisors' thoughts as we go forward, and we'll go there after our first break of the hour, and talk a little bit maybe about some of the things that maybe didn't get done as much that you would, if you still had time, would love to work on. We'll be right back after the break.
Local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe A La Carte. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Cares Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to DecibelCoffeeWorks.com for more info.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We're continuing our conversation with outgoing supervisor and outgoing chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Ramon Valadez, this morning. Happy New Year's Eve to all of you listening. Supervisor, I want to talk about what your thoughts are going forward into the future. As we wrap up on the reflection piece, you've been an elected for over 20 years. You've been with the Pima County Board of Supervisors since 2003. I wanted to ask you, we talked about some of the things that you considered wins during your time. I wanted to ask you about some of the big hairy things that seem to pop up every year. After fiscal year 2020, Department of Transportation Director Ana Olivares said that the average for road quality in Pima County from 0 to 100, 100 being the best, 0 being the worst, was 60 in Pima County. The Tucson Sentinel put out a series a couple weeks ago about opportunity in Pima County based off some research out of Harvard. It showed that only 5% of counties around the country were worse than Pima County for upward mobility for those born into poverty. And even looking at lots of the county, not necessarily your district supervisor, but districts throughout the county, we've seen mobility start to decrease and income start to go down and education attainment start to go down a little bit, even the last 10 years. What do you make of these things? Why do we continue to seem to struggle on these counts? And is there anything in there that keeps you up at night in a public service way of saying, man, I wish the needle could have moved on those areas more? Any thoughts or reflection on some of those big, hairy things that seem to be a continual challenge in the county?
Well, we can touch on the other big, hairy things, but jobs and economic development, I think, is the one you want to talk about right now. And you're absolutely right. One of the things that we asked over and over, and even with some of our business leaders before the Great Recession of 2007 through 2009, was, okay, we are educating our young people, those that are choosing to go to college, and then they're having to leave simply because there isn't the job or the workforce needs here in their chosen profession. So that's part of the equation. The other part of the equation is trying to address the issue of making sure our workforce is brought up to the level where we need it. Okay. Part of what came out of the Great Recession is after about 3 years of roundtable discussions with community-based organizations, businesses of every size, we actually developed the Economic Development Plan, which was first published in 2012, and we are currently in the third iteration of it. And the uniqueness of the plan is, A, it bought off, all the jurisdictions bought off on it, all our private partners bought off on it, all our public partners and utilities bought off on it. So, again, once again, a team effort, okay? And to make it a little briefer, up until earlier this year when COVID-19 hit, we had seen from 2015 almost 50,000 direct and indirect jobs working together as one community come to this community or develop in this community. So that was a plus. But part of the issue that we're talking about really is that we have a high percentage of poverty in our community. And I think a lot of people don't really understand where that is. The county actually has a workforce investment program, which essentially is tasked with making sure that people who come to it can have their work skills increased so that they become more employable and better employable, as opposed to having to hold 3 and 4 jobs in order to just be able to put food on the table and to pay their rent. But part of the issue there is that we need to make sure that our workforce, and we have a high degree of poverty that tends to be generational. Part of what we've been doing is we took the work that was titled Bridges Out of Poverty to real as kind of a basis of where we were at, because part of what we don't understand, unless we've been in poverty, is simply poverty when you're dealing with survival, when you're dealing with being able to eat on a daily basis. You are in survival mode, and you're dealing with, how am I going to pay the rent tomorrow? How am I going to put food on the table today? How am I going to feed my kids? How am I going to take my life-saving medicine? That's a very survival mindset that is it tends to be more immediate need. So part of what Bridges Out of Poverty started to do, and we're still working through that, is really addressing that need. So if they start looking, a day in advance, a week in advance, a month in advance, years in advance, so that they can try and start getting out of that cycle. But until we start addressing that issue, and we're starting to, but we haven't done it in mass because it tends to be very intensive. Part of what the end result of COVID-19 is going to be is that economically, not just here in Pima County, but throughout our country and globally, it has accelerated the changes that we're looking at economically by I'm estimating about 5 to 10 years. So that jobs that people were seeing slowly go away are going or have gone away completely, whereas they would have stuck around for another 5 to 10 years. So again, there is both a challenge and an opportunity because the economy is transitioning. So our task through our workforce investment program is going to be to make sure that we continue and better our efforts in terms of bringing people in poverty, get them out of that cycle, out of that mindset, helping them get to a level which is typically a ninth grade high school level where they can then go into a program and succeed at that program so that their workforce skills improve, they become more employable and better employable as well. So that is I said it briefly, but there is a lot involved in that. And I really wish we could have addressed it more during our tenure. We did begin to address it. We made substantial progress, but there's a lot of work still left to do.
Supervisor Ramon Valadez is our guest. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes, and I think you segued just there at the end to another thing that I wanted to talk about. Now looking towards the future, the Board of Supervisors that will formally take a seat in, I think you said, about 13 hours.
Midnight, technically.
Midnight. Right. A 4-1 edge for Democrats. Steve Christie is the only Republican supervisor now on the Board of Supervisors. What do you think is going to be the most pressing issues? What do you want to see the next set of supervisors work on to move the needle on some of these themes? Even the Tucson Sentinel discussed an article. There's an article by Blake Morlock that called Valadez as a kind of an old style liberal, and Hines is more of a progressive. I don't know if you agree with how that's broken down, but what are your thoughts on the makeup of this board, and what does this board need to be doing in the future? What needs to be happening in the future for our county to succeed?
Right. I agree or disagree with the title. It depends what it means to individuals, so I won't even get into that one. Part of what needs to happen, and used to happen a lot more often, if we look back to the days when the board makeup was 3-2, and it was Supervisor Bronson, Supervisor Elias, Supervisor Carroll, Supervisor Day, and myself, you saw a lot of ability to have discussions across the aisle. Now, I've written a couple pieces that have been published as well in newspapers and other areas where I really talk about the need to use that diversity of backgrounds to really instill those different philosophies, those different thoughts into a stronger work product. What has been missing, and this is the problem, what has been missing probably in the last 4 to 6 years is really a desire to really figure out what we have in common. Now, let me hearken back to when I was in the legislature. One of the things that in the legislature, obviously Democrats were the minority back then, and I got to serve in the 15-15 Senate, which was a little different. But one of the things we always kept in mind was, okay, what do we have in common? And one of the things we had in common back then is we wanted to make Arizona better, stronger, more competitive, better for our citizens. So regardless if we were on one side of the aisle or the other, we believed that was our end goal. We simply had different ideas about how to get there. That's okay. Over the last 6 to 8 years, that basic starting point has changed. It's not that everybody believes in making it better. That discussion point is no longer how do we make it better even though we have different ideas. Now it's really become a discussion of whether or not we want to make it better at all. And there are people who genuinely want to do that, but there are others who want to make it better just for themselves or don't want to make it better at all. And that is the wrong starting point. The starting point needs to be that we as a community, we as one community, can be better. We're incredible as a community in things we've seen before COVID, during COVID. We can be even better, but we have to have that starting point of let's get to better. Now, we can all disagree on how to get there, but let's agree that we want to get to better. And that has to come from both sides. It can't just come from one side.
Absolutely. Yeah, I struggle with where to go from here because on the one hand, we've got about a minute and a half. If we were to go over a little bit, would you be able to come back for the first couple minutes of the third segment, Ramon?
Oh, sure.
Perfect. Because one of the things I wanted to get your thoughts on as well is a level of partisanship in our community that I think we're going to see in the future. And by the way, that's me editorializing. I don't want anyone to listen to that and necessarily, you know, reflect on whether that is your opinion, supervisor. But I think we're seeing a very nationalized version of local politics, a very partisan-driven politics. And I think figuring out how we get through that and over that, I think is going to be important. Without getting into it, because we'll do that in a moment, Ramon, but do you agree? Is that one of your concerns?
Absolutely. And we can get into more details when we come back from the break as well.
Let's do that. We're going to keep Supervisor Ramon Valadez over for just a couple of minutes, not the full third segment probably, but just for a little bit to get his thoughts as an outgoing chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And when we come back, we'll also talk to Devin Underwood at the end of the hour about strategies for your business in 2021. We'll be right back.
News at the top and bottom of every hour. 10:30 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe A La Carte. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Care's Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and Southern Arizona, after our bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages. If you're just joining us, this is our 9 a.m. hour, drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We're going over time a little bit here with outgoing supervisor and outgoing chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Ramon Valadez, representing District 2 since 2003 on the board. Matt Hines will be taking that seat technically at midnight tonight. So this is a true outgoing kind of last conversation, looking back and looking ahead. We talked about some of the things that Supervisor Valadez enjoyed working on the most, and some of the continual issues in the county that are still popping up as troublesome, and talked about that as well. A reflection on the past. Now looking toward the future. Ramon Valadez, again, really interesting here. An opinion piece in the local newspaper, online newspaper, Tucson Sentinel, by Blake Morlock. Started to kind of think about ahead of 2021, how will this new 4-1 set on the Board of Supervisors, Democrat to Republican, deal with issues like early childhood education, regional transportation planning, climate change? Will this board take a more progressive Democratic slant? Will it remain kind of old style local, liberal Democratic? What will happen? And while we won't not necessarily maybe ask you to look into the crystal ball fully on that, Supervisor, I think you and I both share a concern that our community locally has been overtaken by hyper partisanship, driven by a lot of national narrative rather than a pragmatic focus on local issues that deal with the poverty that we spoke about in the second segment. We didn't quite get into that fully in our second segment. Can you speak to some of your concerns more and maybe your call to action in the community going into 2021?
Certainly, and I actually addressed it both in the piece in La Estrella and my parting comments on my last board meeting as well. Look, one of the things, you're absolutely right, Zach, is that right now we have seen typically what we see a partisanship at the federal level in Congress and even the legislature, but the locals, for the most part, really didn't get involved in what I am terming hyper-partisanship that we're seeing today, even at the local government. Look, are jobs one side of the aisle or the other? Are roads one side or the other? Is wastewater one side? No, it really isn't. One of the things that we have to be very cautious of, it's okay to have a strong ideology. That's okay. What is not okay is when that ideology, whether it's one side or the other, forces us to forget that the ideology comes second to the best interest of those we serve. And that's where the hyper-partisanship that we've been seeing really becomes a true and extreme negative. So one of the things that I think anybody who's in elected office or going into elected office needs to remember is it's okay to have a strong political ideology, so long as that comes second to what is best for those you serve. So let me add to that as well, because what we've seen is a strong ideology that creates what I call the politics of no. The politics of no, and just saying no to everything, isn't the solution either. Because I think we as private citizens, and obviously I've been in elected office for a long time, but at midnight I become a private citizen again, we have a responsibility in that. We need to hold the people we place in public office accountable for the politics of no, accountable for putting their ideology before what is in the best interest of our community. Because remember, the politics is always not a good thing, but an ideology that puts their ideology before the people they serve isn't a good thing either. So the most important thing we have to remember is not to follow this hyper-partisanship that we are surrounded by and is easy, because it makes people feel something. And when people feel something, they're willing to follow or go along. Sometimes leadership isn't about doing what is popular, but doing what is right and what is good for this community. So that I offer as a last advice as an outgoing elected official.
Supervisor Ramon Valadez, thank you for that. And I think that's good advice, not just for the incoming five going into 2021. I think for all of us here in 2021. Supervisor, as we wrap this up, what comes next for you? What happens at 12:01 January 1st, 2021 for Ramon Valadez?
Well, first of all, I'm going to rest for a couple days because after 33 years in public life and 24 in elected life, I need a little bit of rest. But I've signed on as a chief operating officer for a local telemedicine company called MedCare2U, as well as partner and Southern Arizona director for a government relations and political strategy firm called Total Spectrum.
Got it. Supervisor, thank you for your time this morning and for a little bit of extra time. Thank you for your time spent in service here in Arizona and in Southern Arizona. And appreciate this reflection, also the look forward and the call to action as well. Something I've been talking a lot about on this show is a return to understand our obligations to each other locally and to trusting and working with our institutions to create long-term change in our community. Happy New Year to you and yours, Ramon, and thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate you.
Absolutely, Zach, and Happy New Year to you, yours, and all your listeners. And thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity, and good luck.
Absolutely. Happy New Year's. Take care.
Bye-bye.
We're going to go to our last break of the hour here. When we come back, we're going to sit down with Devin Underwood of The Talent Store. We call our weekly segment together Workforce Pivots, getting Tucson's employers and employees back to work well. We're going to do a special New Year's edition here as we're all strategizing and creating plans and strategies for the new year. What are some of the strategies for your business strategic plan at a high level as we head into the new year? If you are the owner of a company, we know so many of you are listening right now and always. Hope you'll stick around and listen to that conversation with Devin Underwood. Strategic planning, goals and resolutions for your business in 2021. We'll go to our last break of the hour and come on back, and that's what we'll talk about. Don't go anywhere.
The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
It's the holiday season, and Jones Photo is your partner for giving and getting the gift of great art and photography. Whether it's taking the best family photo this year or printing and framing great shots of the desert Southwest and urban landscapes as amazing gifts, Jones Photo is here for all your photography, framing, printing, and learning and education needs. Don't miss out on the season and support local. Head to jonesphoto.com for more information.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
The Why I Love Where I Live team has one wish for you this holiday season: to find joy wherever you are. As a local retail store celebrating community, what better way to end a difficult year than by buying your Christmas gifts locally and giving friends and family reminders of what makes Tucson and our community great? From books to jewelry to clothing, hats, gifts for kids, and everything in between, visit the retail store this holiday season at 267 South Avenida del Convento or online at whyilovewhereilive.com.
Hi, Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson and Southern Arizona, good morning to you again here. Our last segment together of 2020. It's been a good year. Thankful for you listening, calling, engaging. Again, the beauty of live local radio is real-time talk about real issues with real people. And it's a beautiful thing. And thank you so much for doing this with us for 2020. And we're looking forward to the year 2021. And I can't think of a better way to close out the year than with our friend on the show, Devin Underwood, principal and founder of The Talent Store. We've been walking through an ongoing series we call Workforce Pivots, a conversation every week to get Tucson's employers and employees back to work well. And in the spirit of New Year's, Devin and I are closing out our year together talking about your business, strategic planning, goal setting, and hiring, or New Year's resolutions, employers and talent, rather, goal setting and your hiring strategy and growing your career. Devin Underwood, good morning to you, and how are you?
Hi, Zach. How exciting we get to close out your last 2020 segment together.
I know. This is it. Are you ready?
How did that work it out for me? That's great.
I love
I'm
it.
I'm so honored.
A great way to end things. And thank you for your service to our community, Devin. I appreciate you greatly. And thanks for doing this here on Tipping Point throughout the year. And again, what a better way to support our businesses here than to have a quick conversation about strategic planning and New Year's resolutions for our businesses. So what are you thinking today?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of businesses and organizations that actually closed this week, I found out. It felt like more this year than usual, which made a lot of sense. It's been a rough year. I think a lot of employees were happy for the break. But I know there's a lot of owners, operators, leaders taking this week to really reflect on the year. They'll go back and be looking at their financial reports through January. How did they perform? What were the key areas of growth? What were key areas of challenge? What did they change about their service or product offering in response to this crazy year? What's going to stick, or what are they going to continue to stay with? What's going to change again in 2021? And so there will be a lot of strategic planning, strategic discussions, and goal setting going on in companies all over Tucson.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Devin, mm-hmm. I think what's always interesting in the position you're at with The Talent Store is you get to really be in the middle, so to speak, where you're hearing our businesses, our employers saying, here's what we need to grow, here's where we need to go, and you get to kind of connect the right people with that. Or you get to say to those businesses, hey, let me help you a little bit flesh out where you think mm-hmm. you might be going so I can find you the right person. Then, of course, you work with those right people to be the right fit. So you get to be kind of in the middle, pulling all this in together. What do you think are some areas of New Year's resolutions or of goal setting or of hiring strategy that you would advise our businesses listening to be thinking about as they're preparing for the new year?
Always it's about how will this be achieved? So, you're laying out your vision, you're looking at your strategic plan, you're setting goals for your business. How will it get done? And most likely it's through people, even if it's through systems and processes. Who is the person that's going to lead that charge? Who's going to find that new system? Who's going to implement the new processes? Who's going to bring the team all on board with any changes or shifts that you're planning. And, you know, I light up at this time of year. This is literally why I do what I do. I get so excited, and I think the talent store is uniquely placed because of how we've developed our offering to really help in this area in a much more impactful way. I love taking a vision and a goal and making it a reality through a people strategy. And so really understanding deeply how things are achieved within a company, the day-to-day duties that need to get done, the responsibilities, the oversight, how organizations all over the country structure themselves, and some of the best practices they bring to bear to make those things come to reality, and then translating that into who do you really need? It's not a job, just it's not a canned job description in HR language. It's really fleshing out the success attributes, the really top three things they need to achieve to be successful in the role. And then how does that translate into what they've done, what experience or degrees they've held, where they've worked before, and where we find them in the market. And I love the impact that can be made by finding that right person and being really strategic about it.
Right. Yeah, I think if there's, you know, three or four areas to be thinking about for 2021, you know, what product delivery or operations do I need to make a strategic pivot on? What systems do I need to improve? What part of my business do I need to develop? And then there's one that you've mentioned that I don't know, I'm not sure what it means, but I'd like to get your thoughts on it. Leaders, and so many of them are listening, wanting to get out of the hub. What does that mean?
Oh, right. So many of small, mid-sized businesses have the leadership still in the day-to-day processes. So you think about like a hub and a spoke and a hub, and everything has to go through this person still. And they're drowning. They're feeling like they're just stuck in survival or getting done what has to get done in the day. And they're not visioning. They're not able to step out to look at the big picture and be strategic because they just don't have the time and capacity. How do we find them their number two or their integrator to start to take on some of that operation stuff with the team so they can then think about where they're headed instead of how to just climb out of that day?
I love it. So to circle back then, I think I want to get this right. What you would maybe urge, if you had to urge you know, businesses, leaders, organizations right now, thinking about 2021, these four areas, what do I need to be strategically pivoting on for my product delivery or operations, right? We know so many retail stores right now are shifting to online. I think that's a good thing for 2021. Systems improvement, what systems do I need to improve? What area of my business do I need to develop? And how do I get out of the hub? How do I figure out, man, if I was to offload XYZ, even in the uncertainty of 2021, it would allow me to focus on even those top three, right? Number four can unlock number one, two, and three. Am I getting that right? That if you had to sit down with a business leader, as we are right now, that those would be the three to four things you would urge. And then, of course, pairing to that, okay, now who needs to be around you to make those happen? But if we do those four things, are we in a good spot for 2021, do you think?
I absolutely think so. So really taking a look at what product pivots did you make, or service pivots, and what do you need to continue? You know, on the system side, so many companies did what they needed to as quickly as possible to change systems, especially when you're speaking about remote work or remote client connection. So now that you've got some air and ground under you with that, what are you going to double down on to be a part of the future of work in a systemic or technological way? What really worked or didn't, or what did you kind of do well, but you really could use an expert to get you to the next level on, because this is where work is headed. And then, you know, definitely, what is it that you could offload from your plate that would give you the capacity to move your business forward and get you out of the day-to-day in some way? Those are all really great things to think about. And then as you're deciding on that in your strategic plan, outside of just financial goals, what expertise, success attributes, experience, soft skills, communication style do you need in that person to solve that for you? Mm-hmm. And that's really part of going beyond the job description to start getting strategic about who you're targeting in the marketplace to bring on board.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Devin, is you and I are not just talking about this theoretically. I didn't really think about this until we got into the conversation, but you've helped me and TYP, my organization, and you and I work on it quite a bit together, of course, on figuring out, hey, what are the systems that need improved in 2021? And how do we get Zach out of the hub a little bit more? and I remember, because I want to be empathetic to this, because I don't think that we're going to get to midnight tonight, and everything is going to magically improve in 2021.
No.
There's nothing that, you know, the different year, we're not going to see any kind of change in the next number of hours that is going to change the reality we're in. Mm-hmm. And I want to be empathetic to the fact that many businesses and organizations right now are seeing 2021 as an uncertain year. I think that there is a desire to almost kind of buckle down, hunker down, and get to it and through it. And not necessarily see it as a time to grow. I think growth can be a very tense idea right now. How do you help organizations obviously make smart decisions, but to not just be in the hunker mindset, but to figure out what growth is needed in uncertain times for ongoing success? How do you help organizations overcome that?
It's really about homing in on where are the one or two places that can be most impactful. You know, we don't need to solve all the organization's problems right now, and we don't need to add 10 people, right, and get scary growth. We have to be smart about it, but are there some key places, if well-positioned, that's really going to set you above competition or that's going to get you to the next level? Through 2021. And those are the things we home in on. And that's where you really want to invest and get an expert helping you with that, because that's going to be what takes you to the next level.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be, I'm not going to go in there and convince a company that they're going to be someone they're not, and that we're not in the reality financially that we aren't. But there are places where you can have control, you can be strategic, and there are some places that will be more impactful than others that you can invest your time and money and energy on.
Mm. Devin Underwood, principal and founder of The Talent Store. We've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to turn it back to you, Devin, to close. We've talked a lot about business. You work with a lot of mid-size and large businesses here in Tucson. You have been on the front lines of what our businesses have been dealing with in 2020. As you look ahead to 2021, any words of encouragement, of reflection, any thoughts, anything that you would really leave our businesses and our listeners with for 2021 that you're seeing from your in the trenches position?
I think that, one, I want everybody to pat themselves on the back, give themselves a gold star, a giant hug and a high five, because you are all much more resourceful and capable than you ever knew. Everybody was creative, was gritty, was tough, and was and got through it, you know, and so we're here, and that's an incredible feat. It's been a really crazy year. And then the next thing is don't go back to normal. Learn. What did we learn from this? What did this show us about ourselves, about our employees, about our business that we can carry in to be even better at what we do? The future of work has been hanging out there for a long time, and it was always talked about 5 to 10 years from now, what will AI change, what will, you know, automation change. I guarantee you companies all over the country and all over the world took 2020 and said, I need to double down on my pursuit of innovation and technology. This has showcased that more than ever. And so what are you doing to stay in line with the future of work? How are you going to get on board with that? And what expertise do you need in your company to make that happen? We'll help you hire them.
I love it. And Devin, I think that's a great way to end the year for everybody, certainly on the business side. But, you know, I think Tucsonans showed themselves to be creative and gritty and more resourceful than we. I mean, we knew we were all those things, but even more than even more than we knew. I think that's a great way to end 2020, to end our conversations this year, and to end the show. Devin, for any businesses listening here as we close who want to sit down with you going into the new year on some of these themes, those four items you mentioned, where can people go find you and set up a next conversation?
Yep, go to yourtalentstore.com, schedule a time to talk. I'm happy to talk about anything going on and see how we can solve it through finding you some great people.
Love it. Devin, again, for people who don't know who you are a champion for businesses, but you're also a champion for our community. Appreciate you greatly and everything you're doing, and looking forward to our conversations in 2021. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Zach. Happy New Year.
Have a fun and safe time this evening to Devin and to everybody. That wraps it up. Workforce Pivots. That wraps up Tipping Point for 2020. That wraps up our hour today here. Again, Tucson, stay safe and stay healthy out there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out. We've had great conversation this year shaping the future of our community. We'll keep doing it in 2021. Tom Callahan, thanks for everything behind the glass, making the magic happen. We'll see you in the new year. Take care, Tucson. Be safe. Talk soon.